Thank you. Let's all stand together, grab your Bibles, and let's turn to Jonah chapter 4 this morning. Jonah chapter 4. I know we're a little bit later than typical. We had a few more testimonies and so forth. Just to let you know, I see the clock. It's just right in front of me. That's helpful sometimes. I don't always look at it, though, so sorry. We will get out of here about the same time we always do. We've been going through the book of Jonah. I think this is like the fifth one that we've looked at. We're to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. We will finish up with Jonah today. Look at verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, if you know what that's talking about there, it's talking about what just happened in chapter 3. Chapter 3, Jonah goes and preaches a message. Get 40 days, repent. God's going to blow you guys out of the water. Thanks for coming. No love offering needed. And he left. Nineveh repents. The king, the animals repented. Everybody repented. And it ends chapter 3 by saying God saw their works and their turn from their evil ways. And God said, I don't need to judge them anymore. They're all right with God. They're all going to go the right direction. And then you come to chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. I get a little disconnect there. Shouldn't he have been happy? I don't know. Verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Now, he doesn't tell you what the saying is, but obviously he had had a conversation with God and said, if I go, they may repent, and you're not going to judge them. And that's not what Jonah wanted. Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Then saith the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? And Jonah, by the way, no answer. And Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And he made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head. He made a little booth to kind of keep the sun. It's very hot in that part of the world. And God, that wasn't enough to really help him. So God had this plant grow, leaves, and it covered him. I'm starting to lose the battery on this. We need to check it before every service. And so he grows to help him out. Verse 6, and the Lord prepared, verse 7, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. This guy's got some issues. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Why, and shouldest not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? That's it. We're done. What happened next? The ending isn't working out very well because Jonah had some problems. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for this morning, this time we have together. Please bless our few minutes. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to have the right spirits and learn from Jonah's mistakes. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can we try this one? Because this one has issues. By the way, can we get this fixed by tonight? Because this one is not as good, and I need some monitor on this one if I could get that. Thanks. As we review the story very quickly, we understood Jonah got instructions from God in chapter 1. Go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I don't feel led to go to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. He's in a ship. God gets a hold of him by sending a storm. Long story short, he gets chucked overboard to stop the storm. He gets swallowed by a great fish. Now, when he's in the fish, he decides that's a good place to have a prayer meeting. And so he starts praying, and he gets a hold of God, and God says, fine, I'll get you out of there, and he does. Last week we looked at, once he got out of there, he still had the work to do. God didn't let him off the hook. Okay, he said, fine, we went through all this drama. You're vomited out on the dry land. Now get to Nineveh. And he did, but his heart wasn't in it. He gives a very uninspiring message. Surprisingly, and not because of the evangelist, the city repented. God hears them. He sees their changes. God changes his mind, and he doesn't judge them. If the book had ended at the end of chapter 3, we would look at Jonah as a great prophet. We would say, what a guy. Guy went into the city, preached a 10, 12-word message, and everybody got right with God. Wow. God doesn't work like that. God tells the whole story. And Jonah had problems. You think that if there is a chapter 4 in this book, it would be a story of rejoicing. Could you imagine that? I mean, you go there and you know, wow, look at all these people, and they all want God. Let me stick around here and teach them the Bible. And you know, like kind of when we started the new church in Monterey Park, and that first Sunday we had almost 300 people there. It was like, man, now the work began. It was exciting, and all these new people, and let's help them grow in the Lord. Jonah's like, I don't have anything to do with it. He finally did God's will, but he did it grudgingly. We see that he had an attitude, he had anger, and really, spiritual apathy. What was the problem? Jonah's heart. As someone has said, the heart of the problem is always a problem of the heart. And Jonah had a heart issues. That's where his problems were to be found. He suffered in his attitude. He suffered with anger and apathy. Now, we too can get into some of these attitudes if we're not careful. What are some of the things that happened here that Jonah did? What are some of the problems he had that caused him to have a bad attitude, to suffer from anger, and really be apathetic? And I'm sure none of these things were things that we would have to deal with. I'm pretty positive. What was Jonah's mistakes? Number one, he placed blame for past failures. By the way, so do we. Jonah has a bad spirit about what God did. And in verse 2, he says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I told you this was going to happen. Wasn't this my saying in my country? I knew this was going to happen, Lord. What he's saying, Lord, is I'm upset, and you don't want me to be upset about you saving these people or taking your hand of judgment off them, but really, I told you this was going to happen. Isn't that where we're at when we have issues in our life? It is never our fault. It is always somebody else's fault. Jonah really had issues. Contrast that to a prayer when he was in the belly of the fish. Everything was good. Lord, salvation's in the Lord. All that. He's not saying that now. Blaming people. A person will never change until they take personal responsibility for what's going on. You could argue with them. You can give them 7,432 biblical principles. You can share with them until your face is blue. But until they're willing to say, this is not a that person problem, this is not that circumstance problem, this is a me problem. Until a person is willing to get to that point, they'll never change. And if you don't change, bitterness creeps in, you get angry, you get apathetic, you get cynical, and really, it's nobody's problem but your own. Blaming others. Didn't it start in the Garden of Eden? Eve sinned first, Let that settle in. Wasn't the man, it was the woman. God blamed the man, though, so. Then Adam sins. God comes to him and says, hey, what's this all about? Eve, what's the problem? I am the devil. The devil made me do it. Okay? He's like, fine, sister, to the side. Adam, what's the problem? Adam says, by the way, this is something guys say a lot. The woman. Her. You know, what he's saying is, you know, I didn't have a real lot of choice in the matter. One day I took a nap, I woke up, and there she is. No choice. Okay? And he said, it's the woman. And then he says, you know, the one you gave me. Yeah. At least if we blame our wives, it's like, hey, you chose her, buddy. Right? Well, that's my husband. I know, but who chose him? Wasn't God, anyhow. We blame. That's what we do. Children blame. You see one of your kids, they do something when they're little, like, oh, they point to their brother, they point to somebody else. Don't play the blame game. Jonah blamed God for his situation. First of all, we place blame for our past failures. Second of all, we have a bad attitude, we get angry, we're apathetic, we feel justified in our bad decisions. Says, no, Lord, I told you this, that's why I went to Tarshish in the first place. I thought he got over that. Didn't he get over that? I mean, isn't that the whole story of chapter 2? He's in the belly of the fish and he comes to God and deals with the whole issue. Now he's going to bring it back up to justify the bad decision he made in the first place? Don't we do that? See, we can't just say, you know, like you ever play the men's basketball league, you play, you know, the kids, they bad pass, and I say, oh, my bad. By the way, the NBA players don't do that. How come they blame each other? But anyhow, we want to blame, we want to be justified in the fact that we made a horrific decision. Instead of just saying, bad decision, let me get help, and let me move on with my life. God spared Nineveh. Jonah didn't want that. And so he says, God, that's you. Bitterness. It's like bitter. You know, well, you know, we did something, but after all, that person deserves this or that person deserves that. And then bitterness comes into our life. By the way, that's where Jonah was going. You know, someone said bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Okay, it doesn't work that way. You're not going to get over, by the way, when you make a bad decision and you feel justified, who's the person suffering the consequences? You. You. So Jonah liked to blame. He wanted to feel justified for making bad decision. Next, we have a warped logic in our thinking. When we start to get like this, we don't even process things correctly. We don't even think straight. Here, look what he's griping about. For I knew. Now, he's giving God all the reasons why he's upset. It's your fault, God. That's why I made the bad decision in the first place, because of you. For I knew, verse 2, that thou art a gracious God. Now, by the way, he's not praising God here. He didn't raise his hand in church service saying, I want to thank God that God's merciful. He's complaining. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. How dare God be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now, that's not the things to get upset about. Those are the very things that got him out of the belly of the fish in the first place. It's amazing how our logic gets warped when we have bad attitudes. We gripe about things we have no business griping about. The reason is we want to be gods in our life. That's what we want. We want to be in charge. We want to be able to decide what happens. By the way, you know, Mormons believe that you can become a god, and then you get your own planet to be god of. Now, let me explain something to you. If I was God, and I had a planet, you wouldn't want to live on my planet. There would be very few people there. You know, you see some of these people, these atheists, they get up and they shake their fist at God. I would just kind of like, bzz, bzz. We want to be God? You can't even train your dog and you want to be God? You like cats and you want to be God? But that's how we are. Our logic is all warped. You talk to somebody sometimes and just something that totally makes sense, they don't get it. You know why? They're not thinking logically, they're thinking emotionally. By the way, be careful when you think emotionally, you're going to make a bad decision. Say, man, that's why you get upset, you're going to email. So I'm going to email this, I'm going to let them know. Send! 5 minutes later, it's like, I shouldn't have sent that. Say, how do you know? Other people have told me about that. I've done that. And I'm like, man, that's rough. Actually, you don't even need to do that now. Let's text them. Loser, whatever. Boom! Gotcha. Look, an hour from now, you won't feel like that. Right. Yeah. Call your in-laws. My wife is such a witch. I thought she was going to sweep with the broom, and she's flying all over the house. And then 30 minutes later, she gives you a hug and a kiss, and she apologizes and, you know, cooks the best meal. It's like, what a sweet woman. This is the greatest woman in the world. Your in-laws don't think that now. Be careful. Don't act when you're emotional because you're irrational. We become warped in our logic and irrational in our logic. Look, in verse 3, he said, take therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me. Now, let me, and he also says it later on, by the way, after the plant dies. We'll get to that in a minute. That's ridiculous, but we'll move on. He says, you know, now why do you want God to kill you, Jonah? Because I preached a message and everybody listened. They all came to God. Well, that's logical. Kill me! Why? That plant died. Now, if he wanted to die, all he had to do was stay in the belly of the fish and it would have happened. He didn't really want to die. Irrational. Next, we ignore rational questions that would give us proper answers. You see, God's trying to get a hold of Jonah. He's trying to get him to think. He's trying to get him to come to the proper conclusion. He says, now, Jonah, is it okay for you to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah doesn't answer it. Now, if he stopped and thought about it, it's like, I'm mad because God spared all these people. I'm mad because God is gracious. I'm mad because God is merciful. I'm mad because God is patient. If he stopped and thought about the question, he would have come to the proper conclusion. This is ridiculous. By the way, it's like when you talk to your children. Children do this all the time. You ask them a question, they don't answer that question. Should you hit your brother? Well, that one's probably a logical explanation there, but should you hit your brother? Oh, the bike is outside. I didn't ask about the bike. Should you hit your brother? Okay. One of the kids in my daughter's class got in trouble. I'm not going to tell who it is, but it's Nicholas. And he took a little poke at one of the kids, and so he had to sit down. And Jessica's like, now, did you hit that boy? And he looked at her and said, he should have ducked. By the way, that's my kind of boy. I hate to say it. Like, give him a timeout, but it's like, yeah. Anyhow, we must hasten. Next, we hold out hope that we will still get our own way. Everything's wrong. Everything's irrational. He wouldn't even listen to God. He wouldn't even answer God's question. And then in verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under the shadow till he might see what become of the city. So now he doesn't want to answer God's question. He leaves Nineveh. By the way, he should have been in Nineveh leading the revival. He really should have. These people didn't know what they were doing. They just, then they're all coming to God. It's like, what's next? Well, they don't know. What's next? The evangelist left. There's no pastor. There's no church. And Jonah goes out. He says, I'm gonna just go sit and see what happens in the city anyhow. Maybe they'll mess up and God will zap them anyhow. What a nice guy. We always hold out hope that we get what we want. We do all the wrong things, but we just won't let go. And it's not going to work. The whole story of Jonah really is an illustration of an immature, self-directed, unhappy individual. By the way, I meet them all the time. And one of the reasons that we are unhappy is, and one of the reasons we are immature is because we want our way. Our whole world revolves around us. It all has to do with me. And it doesn't matter about anybody else. Doesn't matter about my friends. Doesn't matter about people at work. And in some instances, it doesn't even matter about my family. It's all about me. That's a sorry way to live. That got Jonah in trouble. Next, we miss the lesson that God's trying to teach us. See, God tries to teach Jonah a little lesson here. So he has this plant grow up. And he has the plant cover him. And he gets the shade. And Jonah's happy, like, what a beautiful plant. This plant is nice. And then God says, let me show you. And he has a worm destroy the plant. And now Jonah gets mad because the plant dies. How dare God allow the plant to die? What's God trying to do? God's trying to teach a brother. You don't care about 120,000 people, but you care about a dumb plant. Get the lesson. You wouldn't answer my question, so I'm going to give you a little life story to teach it to you. And we don't get it. You know, if you're a Christian and you're one of God's and something's going on in your life, you know God's going to try to get a hold of you. God's going to try to teach you. God's going to try to speak to your heart. Don't shut him out. Learn the lessons that God has for you. What a tragedy to go through something and have some difficulty in our life and not learn the lessons that God can teach us during that time. Learn the lessons. Everybody in the story listened to God but Jonah. The unsaved boat mariners, the guys that ran the boat, they listened to God. The fish listened to God. Go eat the backslidden prophet. All right, now puke them out. The plant listened to God. Grow up. The worm listened to God. Die. The sea listened to God. Let's have a storm. The prophet. Not going to do it. And that's sad. Let's learn what God wants us. Someone has said those who don't learn from the past are destined to repeat it. God, something comes in your life and God tries to teach you a lesson. It's almost like if you don't learn it, God says, well, now we got to do something else to help you to learn it. Yeah. It's like the children of Israel. Do another lap. They're in the wilderness. You're griping and complaining. Go around again. Got to do it again. They never got it. The last thing is this, and this is really what gets to you. We allow our priorities to get out of place. God says, listen. Thou hast pity on the gourd. You were pitiful about the plant for which thou hast not labored. You had nothing to do with it. You didn't make it grow. It came up in a night. It died in a night. And you're so concerned about this. And he says, so shouldn't I spare Nineveh? These are people. These were men. These were women. These were teenagers. These were children. These were newborns. Shouldn't you have compassion on them? He's more concerned about a dumb plant. You know, our society has its priorities way, way, way out of place. We can't see the things that are directly in front of us. Years ago, there was a lady in Texas. They put her in jail. She was pregnant. She was doing drugs and some other harmful things. And so they threw her in jail saying that she was a danger to her unborn child. So you know what this lady did? While she was in jail, she thought, I know how I can beat this. She said, I want to have an abortion. So they took her out and they let her go have an abortion. Because she figured, if I don't have the baby anymore, they can't charge me with child neglect. Now, they tried to charge her with it anyhow. Now, am I missing something here?
Yeah.
It's child abuse, and by the way, you shouldn't, to do drugs and do all that stuff. When you shouldn't do it anyhow. When you're pregnant, because that's endangering the child, but yet you can still go kill it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but to me, that's irrational. Anybody with an IQ over a plant can figure out that doesn't make sense. But we're so political in our country. We're so political, we don't get it. Okay? Years ago, in Washington State, my wife's home state, liberal, they had a forest fire. So what they did is they took some firemen and they dropped them on a dangerous side of the fire. And what they were going to do is they were going to work. I don't know if they were trying to clear out, but while they were working, they were going to have these helicopters with the water back them up by getting water from the rivers and dropping the water to put the fire out. After they were dropped off, some animal rights group thought that that would be harmful for the fish in the river and the lakes for them to take water. So they went to a judge, and the judge listened to them and ordered the helicopters not to back them up with water. So why the helicopters are trying to get another lawyer to go over there and get some sense into the court, by the time they finally got it together, all those men that were dropped off burned to death over some dumb fish. Now, I don't eat fish. I like to fish, catch them, and let someone else eat them. But are we that? When you don't live for God, your life gets caught up in things that just aren't that important. And I'm not for terrorizing animals. I love animals. We have most of them for meals all the time. Okay? They're delicious. I'm not for cruelty. I'm for common sense. And we are so far from God in this country, we're irrational. Now, most of us are not to that extent. But we're irrational in other areas of our life. We live our lives for things that have no significance. We sacrifice our children for things that aren't that important. We struggle in our relationships because we just can't get it together. We're irrational. That's where our attitude changes. Look, Jonah's a great book. I don't get the ending. There is no ending. There's a question without an answer. It would be nice if it said, Jonah, listen to the Lord God. And he went back into Nineveh. And he rallied the people for God. Doesn't say that. Did Jonah get it? I don't know. Did he get his attitude together? Or did he continue to blame? Did he continue to be irrational? Did he continue to justify what he was doing? I can't answer that until I get to heaven and see Jonah.
Yeah.
If he's not in heaven, Jerry can ask him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jerry. You're so easy. The question isn't Jonah. The question is this. Do we get it? Do we get it? Are we going to allow that attitude to come into our life? And are we going to justify it, blame it, and irrationally make it right when it only affects, really, the person it affects the most is you.
Right. Amen.
It's me. Let's not be like Jonah. Let's let God work in our lives. Let's learn the lesson. Yeah, you know, do you always agree with God? I ain't got to answer that one. Stand next to me, Chart. No. There are things that happen sometimes that, God, I don't understand it. But you know what? I'm not God.
Right.
What about us today? Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning.